Good evening, everyone. After this morning's encouragement to be meeting together, it's great to be able to come together and worship as an encouragement for each other as we come together. And as we start our service, I just wanted to read a few verses from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. So with that in mind, let's start with a song. And we're going to sing Psalm 23, The Lord's My Shepherd. And it's particularly the chorus to pick out in light of what we're going to be hearing about tonight. And it's about trust. And I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. Let's stand and sing. To give out the one notice tonight. After the main service tonight, there's a time of hymn singing for those that would like to join in. Well, tonight Mark's going to be preaching from Peace, Perfect Peace, and that is based on a passage you'll find in Isaiah's prophecy. So if you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 25, we're going to read the whole of chapter 25 and down to verse 6 of 26. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of the foreigners as heat by the shade of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is put down. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, and Moab shall be trampled down in his place, as straw is trampled down in a dunghill. And he will spread out his hands in the midst of it, as a swimmer spreads his hands out to swim. But the Lord will lay low his pompous pride together with the skill of his hands. And the high fortifications of his walls he will bring down, lay low and cast to the ground, to the dust. In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. So it's particularly verses 3 and 4 of chapter 26 that might be preaching to us later. But we're going to continue our worship now with another song, which is When Peace Like a River. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it's well, it is well with my soul. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
spend a few minutes in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can boldly come to the throne of grace and know that here we can have all of our prayers heard. And we thank you so much, Lord, that you so freely gave your only Son to come into this world and make it possible for us to be a part of your family and for our prayers to be heard and answered. And we come pleading the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, knowing that is our only hope of salvation, and that is, Lord, the only basis on which we can come now in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you invite us to pray to you, and that, Lord, you want to hear from us. And we pray that it won't be a privilege that we overlook, but that, Lord, we make full use of. There is much for us to pray about, Lord, many things that go on in our lives, many things that we need assurance of. But, Lord, we thank you that you are there waiting to hear from us. And so I pray that we'll feel encouraged tonight, that we can bring all things to you, and that nothing is too hard for our God. And, Lord, we've just sung some really great words. It is well with my soul. And it's a great hymn for us to sing, Lord, and we love singing it. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us that have sung it tonight, that it will be true for us, that it is well with our soul. We thank you, that, Lord, it is possible for our soul, to be well with our soul. And I pray, Lord, that tonight, if we haven't done so already, we might put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow after him, following the footsteps of our Master, and be led to eternal life. We thank you so much, Lord, that we are your desire, that, Lord, you want us as part of your family. It seems such a contrast to the way we are. So we thank you so much that, Lord, by your grace, by your mercy and love, that we can be brought in as members of your family. And, Lord, we thank you for all of the teaching and preaching of today. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement this morning from John to not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. And, Lord, we pray as we meet together tonight that we will be an encouragement to one another, that, Lord, we will worship you with our whole heart, and that, Lord, you might get all the glory, and that through our corporate worship together, that souls might come to know Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all the blessings of another week. Lord, not a day goes by when we aren't truly blessed with so many things. And Lord, we thank you for the relative comfort that we live in, the relative prosperity, the relative peace that we live in. We thank you for it all, Lord. And we pray that that will continue, that you will continue to provide for us in every way. Lord, we're very fortunate in this country to have all sorts of wonderful things like education and healthcare. Lord, many of us that need work have work. And we thank you, Lord, for all these things. But we don't want to use these laws as a guide of how much you love us. Instead, Lord, we will come rejoicing in the hope that we have in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We come, Lord, with a thankful heart, overwhelmed, Lord, to think that you sent Jesus because you love us. And it is only, Lord, that we love you because you loved us first. And we rejoice in that. And, Lord, that's better than any blessing that we get during the day, to know that our sins are forgiven and that the Lord Jesus Christ did everything that we couldn't do, that our debt is paid and erased, and that, Lord, we have now an eternity to look forward to. So, Father, I pray that as we go through life day to day with all the challenges and tasks that we have to complete, that everything that we do, we'll do it with a full heart. And, Lord, we'll do it to the best of our ability, knowing we are doing it ultimately for you. And we pray, Lord, that whatever challenges life throws at us, whatever successes we have, that, Lord, we might be still only be identified as one of your children. Lord, we don't want to be defined by anything else other than being loved by God. And, Lord, we pray for everyone as we go into this week, that, Lord, we might be able to step into Monday knowing that the Lord is on our side. We thank you for the great and faithful promises that you have made and you continue to keep. Lord, faithfulness that we definitely don't see in ourselves, but, Lord, we thank you that you are the very definition of faith and love, and that, Lord, we can trust you for every step ahead. And, Lord, whether this week looks like it's going to be a difficult one or maybe we're quite looking forward to it, we pray that you'll keep us. You will keep us close to yourself. That, Lord, you will keep us from temptation and the bright lights of and attraction of the world. And we pray that we might keep our eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus only. So, Lord, come and be glorified in our lives and lifted up in everything we do. We pray, Lord, that we will have you at the very forefront and that our efforts will all be for your honour and glory. So, Father, help us in whatever situation we're in. And, Lord, we pray for those who are ill at the moment, physically or mentally, Lord, suffering. We pray, Lord, that you will draw close to them, that you will help them through their difficult time. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised us safety at last. But Lord, we know the journey may not always be an easy one. So we pray that in the meantime, you will continue to be with us, that we will find ourselves fully dependent upon you, like the little servant girl of Naaman who had such confidence in her Lord. We pray that we too might have that in you. So Father, then as we meet together now, we pray that your Spirit will be moving among us and helping us, teaching us. And Lord, we pray for Mark as he comes to open this passage in Isaiah to us. We pray, Lord, for ears that are really listening and a mind that's tuned in, a heart, Lord, that's soft and ready to receive your words so that, Lord, there might be somewhere for it to stay. And we pray that during this week, we might know and feel the peace that only you can bring. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done, for the way you communicate through your word to us. And we pray, Lord, we'll never tire of reading your word, and we will never feel like reading the Bible will just be something that we need to do to tick a box. But we pray, Lord, it will be everything to us. And as we looked at in the week, Lord, that we might be hungry like David was to know your word and to be excited to read it and feel refreshed and blessed by it. May it not be something, Lord, that is a book that gets dusty on the bookshelf or an app that doesn't ever get opened. But we pray, Lord, that we will have the hunger and the desire to read your word. Speak to us through it. Encourage us all, Lord. Help us to encourage one another. And Lord, as we worship you now, Lord, we pray that we will be of one heart, one mind, and one voice. And that, Lord, we might have you at the very center of our worship and that you will be truly praised. And Father, as we head to the time of year where lots of people go on holiday, we pray for those that are already away and those that are heading away this week, that Lord, you'll be with them, that you'll give them much needed rest. And we pray, Lord, that they will be looked after and brought home safely at the right time. And Lord, as the kids have one final week at school and those of us in the congregation that are teachers as well, who have one week left, we pray, Lord, that you'll help them get over the line. And Lord, as they get to this time of the term, it can be really tiring. And so we pray that you will help them through all these last few days and that they might have a well-deserved rest next week. And Lord, we also want to commit to you the plans for YP Holiday as that has happened in a couple of weeks. And Lord, we pray that you will give strength and energy, that Lord, you will provide everything that's needed for that week, and that it might be a time, prove to be a time of real blessing, and there might be a real spirit of love and unity on that week, and it might prove to be a time when hearts are softened and lives are changed by your word. So we pray for everyone who's got responsibilities in the lead up to that, that Lord, you will help them to find the time and to do the things that need to be done, and that Lord, they might fill you with them and helping them and strengthen them along the way. And Lord, with all the activities of this summer, we pray that Lord, you will be at the center of it all, and that everything that happens might be according to your will. And that, Lord, those that are serving might be blessed in it. And those, Lord, who the activities are aimed at, that they might receive the word with great joy. We thank you, Lord, for that. What a great message we have to share. The best news that the world has ever heard. I pray, Lord, that that might be seen in our attitude and our life as we walk through every situation. That we might have the joy of the Lord oozing out of every pore. That, Lord, we might prove to be... wonders of your grace. Lord, we thank you so much that you chose us, not because of what we have done, but because how loving you are. We thank you so much, Lord, and we pray that we will everything we do to serve you might be to your honor and praise. So Lord, come be glorified this evening, then we pray in our worship, and bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before Mark comes to preach to us from that passage that we read, we're going to sing one more song. And it's "Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on your side." And we see through the song, asking God to make our souls still and so that we can hear his voice. And so we're going to sing, "Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on your side."
Peace is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Peace is a beautiful thing. I wonder if you can say that you're at peace tonight. I suspect that many of us here are struggling to experience full peace. There's so many things that steal away our peace, aren't there? Things like financial stress. When money's tight and you're thinking, how on earth am I going to pay that next bill? Well, it causes tension, causes stress, it takes away our peace. Or relationship conflicts, when there's disagreements or conflicts, maybe in the family, or in your friendship group, or in a relationship. Or health issues, maybe physical or mental health issues that are affecting you every single day and it's on your mind, and you struggle to find peace. Or stress. So much to do, so much to think about. Maybe there's decisions that are hanging over you that you know you need to make, but you just don't know what the right thing is to do yet. And these things cause you stress, and your mind is racing because there's just all this stuff going on, and you can't just get on with it, and it takes away your peace. Or maybe it's grief or past trauma. It impacts you every day in your life. It steals your peace. You wish you could just get past it, but it's just not that simple, is it? Worries about the future. There's something coming up that you're really worried about. It's hard to focus on other things sometimes, isn't it? When there's that thing that's coming and you don't feel that peace because it's getting closer and closer. Or a lack of purpose. Sometimes a sense of not really knowing what we're doing can lead to a sort of restlessness inside us. We don't experience peace. Or maybe it's sin. Sin can take away our feeling of peace. Maybe you feel that this evening. You don't feel at peace because of your sin. Sure, there's other things that I could mention. So easy, isn't it, to think, well, if only that thing got sorted, then I would be at peace. If only I suddenly inherited a large amount of money, well, suddenly everything would be a bit more stable and I'd have peace. Or if only I was healed, then I would enjoy peace. If only I can just get past this thing in the future that's really on my mind that I can't forget, then I would experience peace. If only I could get over this grief, then I may be able to feel peace. But the problem is life's just not that simple, is it? There are some things that we can't just get over. How many of you have experienced it as well, where you've got past one thing and immediately there's been something else that has caused you worry, that has taken away your peace? Or many of you know what it is to have several things going on at one time that have taken away your peace. And so, okay, maybe one thing's taken away, but other things just take its place. Well, here's the question for us. Can we actually know peace? Can we know peace? And can we know the sort of peace that lasts, that hangs around? Well, I did what many people these days do. I asked ChatGPT. I said, how can I know peace? Or how can I find peace? This is what it said. Finding peace involves a combination of internal and external efforts. Here are some strategies that can help. Here's a few of them. Exercise regularly, healthy lifestyle, time management, positive relationships, hobbies and interests, gratitude practice, professional help, spend time in nature. And then it says, finding peace is a personal journey, and what works for one person may not work for another. Well, some good suggestions there, good things to do, but that's the best that the world can offer, at least if ChatGPT's got it right. But those are the best things that can offer, some strategies to kind of help us try and find peace. But I want to talk tonight about what the Bible offers. Because, you know, God gives us a peace that is far beyond any of that. In fact, we're not going to be able to understand this peace, because elsewhere in the Bible it says this is a peace that is beyond understanding. So we're not going to be able to really understand it as such tonight, but we can experience it. We can know it. It is a peace that we can find rest in even in the darkest of times. It's in two of my favourite verses in the Bible. So here you go, Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Well, some of you have heard this story before, but when I was a teenager, I knew I was going in for baptism, and I had to go and speak to all the elders and deacons. It was quite an intimidating experience back then. There were lots of them. And I remember I was in PE. I was just finishing PE, and a little note fell out of my bag, a little bit of paper, and I picked it up, and it had Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 on. And it made a real difference that evening, made a real difference during my baptism. And it's been special to me ever since. And I know it's special to some of you as well. Well, verse 3, looking at that particularly now, it says, you'll keep him in perfect peace. This verse talks about perfect peace. Obviously, this is the English translation. In the Hebrew, It's a word that many of us will have heard at primary school. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom doesn't just mean there's no war. Doesn't just mean peace because there's no fighting. It's more than that. It's richer than that. It's the feeling of being blessed by God and knowing that all is well with God. It's a feeling of blessing, wholeness, completeness, quietness of soul, joy, serenity. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? In the Hebrew, actually, it doesn't say perfect peace. It says shalom, shalom, or peace, peace. When they translated it to English, they didn't quite know how to sort of translate it. So they were like, well, what should we say? They were like, well, how do we describe this peace? And they were like, well, I guess it's perfect. So that's why they've written perfect peace. This is the best peace that we can know. It doesn't get any better than this. This is a double portion of peace. Peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Well, sometimes when we have fellowship lunches, sometimes there's an awful lot of puddings and they're amazing. And sometimes what you see, maybe in my bowl, is two pieces of pudding, if we're allowed. And two different puddings, and it's sort of overflowing out the bowl. You see people walking back, or you see me walking back, don't want to be a hypocrite, with loads of pudding in their bowl. And it's this double portion, and there's loads of it. And you see people with a smile on their face as they're looking forward to eating this pudding. That's the sense we get here with the peace that God gives. God doesn't just give us peace. He gives us peace, peace. All we could need and more. This isn't the sort of peace that we get in our life and we have to spread it really thinly around our life because, well, there's not much of it, you know, it just about covers certain areas. No, he gives us a double portion of peace. So we have a thick layering of it that we can kind of sort of spread all over our life, all our situations, plenty of peace to go around. And notice as well that this peace is something that we can be kept in. So notice that right at the beginning. You keep him in perfect peace. See, the problem with so much of our peace is that it's so easily taken away, isn't it? So easily stolen away. So many things rob us of our peace. But God's peace is too rich, too full, too all-embracing to be taken away. It's a peace that we can know even when the finances are tight, even when tragedy strikes, even when work pressures threaten to overwhelm us and we just feel like, how can we go on? This is a peace that can impact even that. How do I know that? How can I be so bold as to say that? Well, because many Christians, and even some of you here, have the testimony that even in the darkest of times, even in the saddest of times, they have known a sense of wonderful peace. Peace that they can't understand, but they've known it. I was chatting to someone from here about 3 weeks ago or so, and they were just sharing about one of the saddest experiences that they'd had in their life. But you know what they said? They said, I just felt this remarkable sense of peace. I said, I couldn't explain it. But there was just this peace. He said it could only have come from God. And yet, many of us Christians don't always feel at peace, do we? Last week, I was feeling a bit under pressure with everything I needed to do and think about and all those sort of things. And I knew I'd be preaching this evening, and so I was trying to get ahead thinking about what I'm going to preach on. And I thought, well, I love these verses. These verses are really special to me. I think it could do us good thinking about this piece. So I'm going to speak on this. And I mentioned it to my mum as I went around there, and I said, I'm, you know, speaking on perfect peace. And she said, well, I'll be praying that you really know the peace you're talking about. I thought, oh, yes. I've been excited about talking about it, but I wasn't feeling it. And actually, I've really had to pray this week that they already know this peace that I'm talking about. They already experience this. But we're not left in the dark about how we can know this peace, are we? We're not sort of left wondering, no, well, how can I know this peace? We're told. This is what it says. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, my mind had been so focused on the to-do lists and the responsibilities and the concerns and the different issues that have been sort of coming up. And I'd taken my eyes off God. The God who controls all things. The God who provides all things. The God who cares for us. I was so busy looking at just everything else in life. And I wasn't feeling that peace. Made me think of Peter walking on the water, famous story, when he walks towards Jesus. Remember that the boat was being beaten about by waves. There were strong winds going on. And it says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. It's an amazing thing to say. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. He just does it as if he's sort of getting out into a field. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did he doubt? Seems a silly question. Because of the massive waves, because he's walking on water. That's why he doubted. But you know, those waves hadn't been an issue a few seconds before, had they? When Peter had kept his eyes on Jesus, those waves weren't an issue. It was only when he took his eyes off Jesus that those waves suddenly became bigger and scarier and became this issue. You'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, the only way that we can know this peace is if our minds are stayed on God. As if our eyes are locked on to God, as it were, to Jesus Christ. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Well, I just trust God. I just go into the week ahead and just trust God. But how quickly we forget what God has done in the past. How quickly we look at the waves in our life and forget God's power. Steals away our peace. How quickly we can find ourselves worrying about something because we've lost sight of God in the middle of everything else. You know, sometimes we can wonder, can't we, why we don't have peace. Sometimes we can even blame God for not giving us peace, and yet we're not looking at him. Our minds aren't thinking about him. You know, if your mind is not stayed on God, if you're not thinking about God, don't be surprised if you don't feel his peace, because you won't. But then in verses 1 to 6, so I'm focusing on 3 to 4 particularly, but in verse 1 to 6, there's a couple of pictures that show us why we can trust in God. It says, because he trusts in you. Well, why? Well, the first is in verse 1. We see that actually this whole bit is part of a song that is to be sung. Look at verse 1, if you've got your Bibles. It says, we have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. We have a strong city. This is the city of God. The walls and the sort of fortifications, as it were, are made, as it were, of salvation. This is a place of safety. And who gets to go inside this city? Who gets to go in? Well, the righteous. But these aren't people that are righteous by themselves. It's not by good works. These are people who have turned to God. They've confessed their sin to him and they've been made righteous by Jesus, by God himself. And they get to go into this strong city. What a beautiful picture for anyone who is struggling with their sin. There is a place where you can go to, a place of safety, a place where your sin can be dealt with and where you can know peace with God. A city of salvation. Run to Jesus, confess your sin, and he will let you in to his glorious city. And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time now. You've run to Jesus before, but you feel the weight of your sin. You feel the burden of it. It's stealing your peace. David knew what it was like to have unconfessed sin. Sin that sapped him of his peace and his spiritual life. Well, as a Christian, it may not affect our eternal destiny, but it does steal our joy. It does steal our peace. Run to Jesus again. Confess your sin to him again and know again the joy and peace of being in the wonderful salvation city of God. This is what Proverbs 18 verse 10 says. Some of you may recognize this from a primary school song. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Just about to stop myself from singing. But in the next verse, there's a contrast. So you've got the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man, he runs into it and is safe. But it says a rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. So you've got this rich man and it's as if he's in this city where his money are the walls around him. And he's feeling this sense of peace because he's looking at these walls and thinking, well, they're good walls. He's got this peace. Well, if there's a problem, I can just throw money at it and it will go away. He has this sense of security in this city. In Isaiah, we hear about other cities like it, cities of self-sufficiency. All these nations who think they'll be okay. They've got the skills, they've got the resources, they don't need God, and so they're proud and they push God away. And so they have this sense of peace, we'll be okay. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're building your own city of whatever it is that is making you feel secure, that is giving you peace in life. It makes you think, well, if there's problems, I've got that to get me out of whatever it is. We can so easily build up our own cities and we can feel this sense of peace about it and think, well, we've got our city. But look at what God does. This is in verses 5 and 6. It says, for he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city or the proud city. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. You see, these cities filled with people who think they don't need God. These walls made up with their own resources will come tumbling down. God himself will bring these cities tumbling down. But the city of God, well, that will stand forever. Nothing can shake that. Not even death. It is secure for eternity. It's a place of safety. It's a place of refuge. There's a strong city that we can run to and know peace. Well, what is the second picture? Well, this is in verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. The Lord God is an everlasting rock. God is unchanging. He is utterly dependable. He is completely worthy of trust. He provides shelter and safety for us. I saw a sad video a few weeks ago. Some of you may have seen it. In the flash floods in Germany. And there were three young people, three friends that had basically got caught in the middle of this fast flowing river. And there was just a video of them holding on to each other. And you didn't see any more than that. But shortly after the video ended, they got swept away. And it was tragic. Sometimes life can feel a little bit like that for us. Oh, we're doing our best to hold on and the waters are just raging past us. Or maybe there's a sort of restlessness inside us, surging away inside us. We're not feeling this peace. And it can feel like it's just going to utterly overwhelm us. But God is the everlasting rock. He is the rock that shelters us and that protects us. And the waters will never overwhelm us. He is the everlasting rock. Jesus' disciples knew what it was to face the storms of life, to face the sort of raging waters, as it were. Jesus warned them just before he went into Gethsemane. He said, look, you're going to suffer. You're going to be scattered. But notice what he says. He says, but I've said these things to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And what tribulation they had. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, it is in God, it is in Christ, where we can find this perfect peace. Keep your minds stayed on him. Keep your eyes of faith locked on him, as it were, whatever you're doing, whatever comes your way. Because our peace, it doesn't come from our cozy circumstances or our easy life or the lack of trouble. No, our peace comes from Christ, the everlasting rock. Well, yesterday I read Psalm 131. It's not one I'm particularly familiar with, but I just wanted to finish just briefly by talking about it very briefly. It's written by King David. It's only 3 verses long, so I'm just going to read the psalm. He says, O Lord, Psalm 131, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But then this is verse 2. But I have calmed and quietened my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. See that David has quietened and calmed his soul like a weaned child to his mother. You see, a weaned child doesn't need his mother. The child isn't there because they need anything, but they're there because it's their place of safety. They want to be there. They have this childlike trust in their mother, that their mother will provide and will protect. And this is how David feels with God. He's got this childlike care and trust in God. He just wants to be in God's presence. He knows that God cares. He knows that God can provide. And so he enjoys the peace of a child. He knows that perfect peace. Keep your mind stayed on God, trust in him as the everlasting rock, and you will know perfect peace. Well, we're going to sing. There's one song that came immediately to mind. It won't surprise you what it is. Peace, perfect peace. So when the music starts, let's stand and we'll sing together.
Thank you.
Lord God, we thank you that one day Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will come and he will enforce peace on this world. But until that day, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would keep our minds stayed on you. Lord, that we would trust in you. But, oh Lord, how we need your help. Oh Lord, how quickly we forget. How quickly we take our eyes off you. Oh Lord, in your mercy, help us to know that peace. And may that be a tremendous witness to the people around us as we live with our eyes fixed on you. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.